Do you still have room for a message? Or do you have a little bit of time left? Everybody okay? We're going to jump into the Word here a little bit. Okay, let's do that. Father, we thank you for the testimonies. Lord, we know that the tests have come, but there are testimonies that follow. And Lord, I just thank you that we have so much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday time. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us as we open up your Word, crack it open, and Lord, give us just a download into us something that will line upon line change us from the inside out. And Lord, let it have impact on our neighbors and our friends and our family and those we come in contact with as well, in Jesus' name. We all said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go for it. Well, it's Thanksgiving week, and let's give thanks for the compassion that He has shown us so we can in turn show that same compassion to others. In fact, it's that compassion that I want to talk about this morning. How do you get somebody's attention when a huge crowd is around that person? Well, desperation says you do whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen footage of a Beatles concert in the early 1960s?
Oh my God.
Do you remember those crowds? I don't know if anybody's willing to come out and say, did you ever go to a Beatles concert when you were younger and was part of that kind of a crowd? Well, look at just how they just clamored together. It was a huge crowd of people at Beatles concerts. Just keep that in mind. Keep those visuals in mind as we move through this morning. A really good way for you to get somebody's attention is if you're desperate enough, you'll risk life and limb, and you'll wrestle your way through, get right in front of that person, fall on your knees, and beg that person to see you and listen to you. Paul! Ringo! George! Ah, John! Well, such is the case in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. My daughter Hillary, I think I mentioned this before, but I just it flashed into my head just now. My daughter Hillary, in order to get my attention when she was really desperate, she'd climb up on my lap when she was little. She'd grab my face by her hands, and she'd just force me to focus just on her. I couldn't look around. I couldn't dart my eyes. She'd put her hands right on my face and just, Daddy, let's talk. Well, that's kind of what's going to be happening here. So, starting in verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, look at this, a great crowd. Now, the Bible doesn't exaggerate, doesn't it? I mean, it just states facts. A great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Verse 22, then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him. Now, remember, there's a great crowd gathered around, okay? A great crowd. Somehow he worked his way through that crowd. He risked life and limb to get to him. He fell at his feet, verse 23, and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he, Jesus, went with him. Victory! You've done whatever it takes. You've been bold and you didn't care what other people thought of you. You just worked your way through all the others who came, incidentally, from all over the region to catch a glimpse, just a glimpse of Jesus, just like those Beatles fans. who all wanted an audience with him and all wanted to get his attention. He says, okay, I'll come with you and I'll heal your daughter. I mean, what an awesome, inspiring story of faith and perseverance from somebody getting through a huge crowd of people, risking your life, getting to his feet, and getting audience with the King of Kings. So what happens next? A giant distraction. Verse 24, the second half of that verse, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Now, this word throng is a large, densely packed crowd of people. So think of sardines. I mean, you think of the biggest, sweatiest mess of people crowded, thronged about him. Now, Jairus, remember, he just got words from Jesus that he would come with him. And then all distraction takes place. In other words, fine, you got Jesus' attention, but everyone else wants his attention too. That's why they're thronged about him. That's why there's a great crowd of people. There are a whole lot of people and other things along the way to distract us and get us to believe that he's going to forget about us. Just look at verse 25. It's a great portion of Scripture, but just think about Jairus as we're reading this. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. In a crowd of people, it's sardines, people. What did she have to go through? To just touch his garment. In other words, she was also doing whatever it took to get his attention, or better yet, her healing. She was just another one of the throng of people surrounding Jesus at that moment. Verse 28, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. Amen. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Verse 30, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about, where? In the crowd, and said, who touched my garments? Verse 31, and his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you. It's a throng. Hello? And yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. Verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. And what did she do? She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Wow. Talk about compassion. Even with a throng of people all around, all of whom are vying for attention, begging for a piece of him, Jesus heading for Jairus' house. Remember, he's heading for Jairus' place to heal his daughter, stops the procession to validate a woman's faith. Can you imagine Jesus peering into your soul and saying these words, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. Now, all this takes place, let's put quotes around, along the way. Talk about distractions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can just hear Jairus saying, yeah, it's fine for this woman. You know, thank you. That's awesome. But what about my daughter? Look at the next verse, verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Huge lesson here. Woohoo! Huge lesson. There are always voices attempting to interrupt the work and words of Jesus in your life. Don't bother. There are so many others vying for his attention. He won't listen to you this time. You already asked him before for your healing. He heard you the first time. Don't bother him anymore. But from these verses, let us learn. Don't let those voices win. Don't let those voices win. Verse 36, I believe. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear. Only what? Believe. So in fact, not everything that disrupts you is from the devil. Some disruptions are divine. In our desperation, Jesus just seems to slow everything down. Imagine the angst in Jairus. I mean, this woman was healed of a disease that she'd had for 12 years. She'd spent all of her life savings, and yet she touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. Awesome. That's wonderful. But my daughter, I know, is just about to die. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, no, she's dead. Another incident in Scripture happened like that with Lazarus, didn't it? With he and his sisters. Jesus just slows everything down in our lives. So some disruptions, you may be disrupted right now with something in your life. Jesus just slows everything down and helps us to remember that his time and his timing are perfect. And your healing is from the Lord, not man. Now, God can use doctors, obviously. He uses doctors and many other things, but it's from the Lord. Verse 37. So what did Jesus do? He just says, I'm allowing no one to follow me except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Verse 38. They came to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. This is my impression of weeping and wailing. You know, if I were Jairus, I was just thinking, you know, and my daughter was close to death, and I was going to go try to see the healer, the real healer, I would want people coming to my house who were real prayer warriors, who were people who were going to pray and intercede for my daughter while I went to try to get through the throng of people and bring all Jesus back, whatever it took to bring Jesus back with me. Instead of weepers and wailers, I want people who are interceding and praying for my daughter. I mean, wouldn't you? That's what I'd want. If you're going to weep and you're wail, not intercede, don't come. But if you're going to intercede, come, please, come. That's who I want. Let's go back to the scripture, verse 39, sorry. And when he had entered, Jesus said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. Have you ever heard mocking laughter at your acts of faith and obedience? Mocking. Pray for that person in a wheelchair. What kind of mocking sounds might come to try to prevent you from doing that? Or better yet, another thing. What? Get out of your car, go and pray for that woman under the bridge and give her $20. It's craziness. Not if it's of the Lord. Not if he's instructing you. Next verse, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Verse 41, taking her by the hand, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Is that cool or what? I mean, God wants to give us a personal word in Aramaic. Talitha kumi. What does he want to say to you? Anini sumawa. Sorry, that's Swahili for "you bug me." That's what that word means. I didn't know any Aramaic, so I just said Anini sumawa. Anyway. Jesus was always frustrated by a lack of faith. And he hated spiritual cover-up, laughing him to scorn because of their ignorance. But he marveled at demonstrations of faith. Next slide. Faith refuses to focus on circumstances. Even the words, "Don't bother, she's dead." I mean, if that's not a faith builder, I don't know what is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15 and starting in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Here we go again, another daughter story. Well, we have two daughters, so I'm kind of partial to those. Verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, this is a whole story in and of itself, but we won't get into that this morning. But what happens? Similarly, this woman postures herself just like Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and the woman with the issue of blood, verse 25. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "Well, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Thank you very much. But verse 27, she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. be it done for you as your desire. And her daughter was healed immediately. You see that? Faith nullifies disqualification. Even though she wasn't a woman of the household of faith, her true faith made Jesus compassionate toward her. He didn't even go with her. Let me ask this. Do you need the whole meal before you'll believe? Or are you willing to humble yourself for a few crumbs? God's crumbs are greater than a supersize me meal. I know what I deserve, but Lord, in your great mercy, you can heal me on my knees, right here, right now. If you ever felt that you didn't deserve your healing or anything else for that matter because you were disqualified by life, you're not alone. And it's never about you being good enough, is it? If Jesus doesn't answer right away, keep asking. Keep knocking. Why are we tested like this? Well, so we can know that everything, and I mean everything, comes from God. It comes through Him, and it comes because of Him. You see, Jesus was moved by human need. It's called compassion. It's the motive that releases healing, signs, and wonders. Let's drop down to verse 29 of Matthew 15. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. Verse 30, and great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they, what did they do? They put them at his feet, and he healed them. There is something about being at the feet of Jesus. A great way to posture ourselves for Jesus' compassion and healing is humbly on our knees. What can we learn and take away from this? Miraculous manifestations are directly related to the ministry of human need. So many of the miracles recorded in God's word happened along the way. Jesus was just going from one place to the next, and human need was right before him. Ask yourself, am I involved in human need? God gives us opportunity to love, to cultivate kindness. Miraculous manifestations will follow. Have you ever suffered? I mean, truly suffered? Because if you have, that's where compassion comes from. Thank God for his suffering through Jesus for us, for you and me. You can be a carrier of Jesus' compassion. This year, let's make this Thanksgiving much more than what we eat and what football game we watch. Let's praise him for his compassionate healing, his forgiving hand on our life, and let's give to others that same healing in abundance. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's be standing together, and let's take our hands and let's hold them up like this. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray that God's healing power and virtue flow into each and every one of us this morning. And then as you receive, I'm going to pray that you'll be able to give this out by divine appointment to others that you're going to come in contact with by God's plan and purpose. Amen? Amen. Father, right now we pray for your healing power and virtue to flow through this whole church. Lord, through every single need, through every single ailment, Lord, we pray that your healing power would come into our bodies, our souls, and our spirits, because we are three-part beings. Lord, we thank you for your healing that's complete and miraculous. You did it along the way, Lord. We're asking you to come here this morning with us and pray. We pray for your healing power to go into every body right here, right now. Right now, Lord, let your healing virtue be our portion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Back pain, hips, legs, heads, be healed now in Jesus' name. Heart, be healed now in Jesus' name. Lungs, be healed now in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Eyes, be healed now in Jesus' name. Ears, be unplugged but in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Neck issues, be healed now in Jesus' name. All around this room, thank you, Lord, for your healing that comes. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and kneel at your feet and be healed by you. Lord, I pray right now that your healing virtue will come into us, that we might, by divine appointment, also lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lord, I pray for divine appointments to happen all throughout this Thanksgiving season, that you would just help us to be bold and, Lord, block out the voices that would say, well, that's just a mocking, that's just craziness for you to do that. But, Lord, that's when we move into action, because we know that it's not by our power, it's by your strength, that we're just simply obeying. We're just laying hands on the sick and they'll recover because it's your hand that touches them. Lord, let these hands be full. Let these hands be full to overflowing, that your healing would take place as they go out of this place today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Woo! Thank you, everyone. Wow. Well, have a blessed Thanksgiving, everybody. And thank you for your extra time this morning as we shared together and then shared the word. Thank you so much. God bless you.